Hi, my name's Zach. I'm 12 years old, and I host We the Children, the podcast where kids talk climate change. Like a lot of kids my age, when I think about the future, I can't help but wonder what kind of world will be waiting for us. Will polar bears still roam the Arctic? Will we still be able to see colorful coral reefs or build snowmen in the winter? I'd like to think so. That's why I'm trying to learn as much as I can about climate change science, stories, and solutions from some of the world's leading experts, and share what I learned with all of you. Together, we can decide what type of future we want for our planet. Subscribe to We the Children on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and visit us at WeTheChildrenPodcast.com. Remember, we, the children, have the power to make a difference.
Hi, it's Nate here. You may have noticed that things have been a little, quiet in the show about science feed. And that's because we've been working on a new show. It's called The Show About Politics, and I'm here to share an episode with you. And if you like it, please subscribe. And don't worry, science fans, we're working on new episodes of The Show About Science, which will be out soon. All right, without further ado, here's the show.
The American dream means giving it your all, trying your hardest, accomplishing something, and then I'd add to that giving something back. No definition of a successful life can do anything but include serving others.
Understanding our democracy, one podcast at a time. This is The Show About Politics. Here's your host, Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Show About Politics. So, in order to achieve the American dream, hard work is important. But as our 41st president, George H.W. Bush, mentioned at the beginning of the show, in order to make the American dream real, you need to be willing to serve.
That's the guidepost for my dad's life. From serving in the military when he was 18 years old, the youngest Navy pilot, in World War II at the age of 19, being the head of the United Way in Midland, Texas when he was a young business guy, to serving in all sorts of capacities, making sure that others were lifted up is always the most important thing in my dad's life.
That's Governor Jeb Bush, my guest today.
So where are we gonna do this?
Over in here.
All right.
Jeb began his career in politics working on his father's presidential campaign, and I was so lucky to be able to interview him at this year's South by Southwest EDU conference in Austin, Texas.
So, Governor Bush, is it okay if I call you Jeb?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, so could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'm 66 years old. I know that's shocking, you thought I was much younger, right? I was the governor of the state of Florida for 8 years, between 1999 and 2007. I have four near-perfect grandchildren, one of which is close to your age, Georgia, who loves to read as well. And then Vivi is her younger sister. They live in Miami. And Jack and Prescott live here in Austin, Texas, where we are right now. My son is a statewide elected official here in Texas, and he's married to Mandy. My other son, Jeb Jr., is my business partner, and he's married to Sandra. And I have a daughter, and I've been married 45 years. And I have a pretty active business, and I have an education reform foundation.
Okay, so speaking of family, what was it like going door-to-door for your father's campaign?
It was interesting. In 1980, when my dad ran, I was 26 years old, I think, so 1979. And we'd never really gotten that involved in politics, but I did it because I love my dad. And politics, you overcome your fears pretty quick because you're kind of in a vulnerable situation. You're giving speeches and talking, and, you know, it's a public setting. And it gave me a lot of confidence as a person to campaign for my dad. And it was payback. You know, if you love your parents, there's ways that you can show your love for them, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my way to show how much abundant love I had for my father. And I enjoyed it.
Back in 2000, after a tough election, Jeb's brother George became president.
George W. Bush will become the 43rd president of the United States.
And that earned Jeb a unique spot in U.S. history.
So, what was it like having a brother and father as president?
It was different. I don't think there was anybody else on the planet that has that experience. I don't know if John Quincy Adams' brother existed. So there's been two presidencies that have had a father and a son be president. The Adams family, not the TV show you might have seen.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about John Adams, the second president, and J.Q. Adams, who was, I don't know what number he was, but he was maybe 10th or something like that. That's the first group, and the second group was my brother and my dad. And so it's pretty unique in American history. But you know what? My family never really focused on that. We were united in family love all the way to the end. So when we gather up, we don't talk about politics that much. We talk about baseball, how our kids are doing, grandkids. It's pretty normal.
So that brings me to my next question.
Oh, good.
What was it like being involved in a political family?
Well, in our case, as I said, it really wasn't a political, it was viewed as a political family. I didn't see it, but last night CNN had a show that talked about the Bush dynasty. So if I was watching it, I'd be watching them talk about me and my family, and we didn't view it that way. We were a family first, and my dad taught us the importance of public service, and some of us serve in different ways. My brother and I happened to be wanting to serve as governors, and then he became president, but we were just taught to help others, to serve others, and that was the motivation for being involved in politics and lots of other things. My mom has a family literacy foundation that helps adults learn to read because parents are the first readers to their children. And others in our family have helped in other ways, and that's kind of what drives our family.
Like the rest of his family, Jeb felt the call to serve. He was the governor of Florida for 2 terms before making a big announcement in 2015.
I've decided I'm a candidate for president of the United States of America.
The crowded field of candidates seeking the Republican presidential nomination just got even bigger. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush officially threw his hat into the ring today.
So, how do you run for governor or president?
How do you do it? Well, it's different now. Now it's very different because of social media. When I ran the first time, I basically had to quit my job. I was full-time, 12 hours at least a day, almost 6 days a week, shaking hands with people. Even a big state like Florida, you have to campaign that way. And it was grueling, but it was exciting. So I lost. But one of the things that I think in your life, and people, when they get a little older, start to realize that the best learning experiences in life are when you fall back, when something bad happens or you lose, because it gives you a chance to learn. If you keep winning in life, sometimes you think that, well, it's just I'm perfect and everybody's imperfect. So it gave me a chance to reflect on how I could be better as a person and as a candidate, and I won in 1998. So people campaign in different ways. I like campaigning putting personal context around ideas. So I got better at telling stories about why the things I believed in were important.
So what was the experience running for president?
Well, was it? It was crazy. it was fun, too, because the way I campaigned was we did a lot of town hall meetings where people just came and they said what they wanted to say or asked me whatever they wanted to, unscripted, and I normally answered every question till there was none left. And I did that 2 or 3 times a day on my feet for a couple of hours each time. And I enjoyed it a lot. The political environment's a little different now. And so social media and the cable news networks, you know, they don't cover the human aspects of campaigning. They cover the loud, the more prone to exaggeration, the big, the boisterous, rather than a campaign style that's connecting with people on a human level. So it's a different kind of campaigning now.
So any advice for kids out there who want to be president?
I think the best advice I'd give is to really strive for success in your own life when you're young. Be open to everything. Read, learn, listen. Listen to your mom. That's great advice. Build character. It'll happen naturally if you want to serve. And if you don't, along the way, hopefully you're making big contributions to help others anyway. A lot of people have big dreams, and then it turns out those dreams don't work out, and they're so frustrated because they're so focused on the dream, they kind of miss life's journey. And my advice is to keep your eyes open and your ears open, because whatever your dreams are, they're probably going to change. And along the way, you want to help others. You want to grow and learn and be part of something bigger than yourself. And it may end up being president. It may end up being maybe the head of a not-for-profit organization or a successful business person that you can then give back in other ways. You can create jobs for people that otherwise wouldn't have it. Life's going to be full of great opportunities, and I wouldn't focus on just one thing.
Thank you for being on the show.
You bet. You're fantastic.
Thanks.
Okay, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the show about politics, and please leave a review. It definitely helps others find the show. Okay, Dad, take it away.
This episode is sponsored by Quirk Books, delivering books and stories that are bold, unprecedented, beautifully designed, and affordable. The Kid Legend series from Quirk Books tells the hilarious stories of famous scientists like Albert Einstein and Jane Goodall, inspiring activists like Martin Luther King Jr., and former presidents like Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. These funny and totally true biographies show how even the most famous individuals have to conquer kid-sized problems. Learn more at quirkbooks.com. And, as always, music on the show about politics was written by soundslikeanearful.com. See you on the next episode.
Hi, my name's Zach. I'm 12 years old, and I host We the Children, the podcast where kids talk climate change. Like a lot of kids my age, when I think about the future, I can't help but wonder what kind of world will be waiting for us. Will polar bears still roam the Arctic? Will we still be able to see colorful coral reefs or build snowmen in the winter? I'd like to think so. That's why I'm trying to learn as much as I can about climate change science, stories, and solutions from some of the world's leading experts, and share what I learned with all of you. Together, we can decide what type of future we want for our planet. Subscribe to We the Children on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and visit us at WeTheChildrenPodcast.com. Remember, we, the children, have the power to make a difference.